This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
There is a big acclimation period for a lot of coaches who step in and don't realize all the responsibilities that come along with it. And I know it sounds simple, and you're like, how could that be? But all of a sudden, they're getting knocks on their door around the clock from people with various issues that they didn't have to deal with always as a coordinator. And I think that there's a learning curve involved with a lot of these jobs. Now, again, still it is a bottom-line business. It's wins and losses. You've got to come through there. But there is a learning curve to all that comes along with this job, and I would guess that the Patriots, Gerard Mayo, they're realizing, wow, this is larger than we realize. You know, when you have a guy in place there, you don't think about it always. It just kind of runs itself. But it's not that simple, and I think they're starting to realize that this year a little bit.
It was Adam Schefter with us yesterday, and there's something to be said for this is a clip that I think went viral for us. I mean, it went passed around a lot online, a lot of views, a lot of response, a lot of discussion about this. As the acclimation coming for coaches. And I understand what Schefter's talking about here, and I do think that there is going to be a learning curve for rookie coaches, but it's not like it's this uniform thing and they all go through it the exact same way. That's not true. And I think it sort of takes the onus a little bit off of Gerard Mayo. Well, you know, what do you expect? He's a first-year head coach. He doesn't know all this stuff. He doesn't know all the responsibilities there are. He was there under Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick did everything. Bill Belichick was in charge of the roster. He was in charge of the defense. He was in charge of the whole team. Everything that happened went through Bill Belichick. He knew that. Gerard Mayo knew that. He was in there in meetings all the time. He's walking around with his baseball bat, you know, doing all that crap, whatever it was.
Swinging over everyone's head.
Which, by the way, at the time, and this was when it was unpopular to say this, what are you walking around with a baseball bat for during a meeting? What are you, an a-hole? Like, that seems like something an a-hole would do. Either way, that is all the least of his problems
Call
now.
Call Gerard Mayo an a-hole?
All this time later, I think that's kind of an a-hole behavior, walking around a team meeting with a baseball bat swinging it around.
Funny how you waited till he was 1-6 and about to be fired.
I said it at the time. No, okay. I definitely said this at the time, and it was not received well, by the way. People got on my case for it. Like, I was wrong. I thought, you know.
Didn't they walk it back and try to say it was the little souvenir bat?
I don't care what kind of size bat it is. You know, pay attention.
Save that.
What are we doing? Like, you know, it's a meeting. Sit down and be part of the meeting. What are you walking
around?
You
can have a ball.
Swinging a bat.
Did you see Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men? Wasn't he a bat guy?
During meetings?
Yeah.
During team meetings?
When they were planning the whole defense, it was like four lawyers and he had his bat.
He looked like an a-hole.
He's probably an a-hole.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. But either way, that's neither really here nor there. The point is now, this isn't something that I'm just going to chalk up to, well, Gerard Mayo's so inexperienced, how could he possibly know he's going to have to handle all these different types of things? He should have known that. He should have been well aware of that. He was on the team when Hernandez was there. Like, he knew about putting out fires. Was he there for the Tebow thing? Like, when Tebow was in town that one off season, I think Mayo was on that team.
Or
it was, around that time, because he was there. When was he drafted? Like 2009, I want to say?
Yeah.
And that was, I think, 2013 or 2014. So, yeah, he was definitely there. He knows what it's like when there's a lot of attention being placed on you and your team and your roster and what that is as a player. And then later on as a coach, he had to deal with all that, too, and all the stuff that Bill was going through in those last couple of years before he got fired by Robert Kraft. He was right there observing all of it. I don't buy that this was some overwhelm. My God, I can't believe I have all these responsibilities. He knew what the responsibilities were. Come on.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2008.
Yeah, and he's not the GM of the team either. He's just the head coach. He knows what goes into this. He has to know that.
And he was also a player and a captain. So let's not forget that.
Another great
point. So for 7 years, he was in captain's meetings, and I think they met with Belichick at least weekly, if not more than that. And part of that was to deal with this kind of stuff.
Right.
Like issues I need to know about or things I don't like that I'm going to ask you guys to kind of pass the message along, right? So he was in that thinking of leadership for the totality of his career. I also think the biggest issue he also faces here is, don't tell me it's a hard job when you told me he was the perfect man for the job because of his makeup.
Another good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you had said, you know, we know he's really inexperienced and there's going to be a transitional period here, and that's why we brought in Ben McAdoo and Matthew Slater to give him a sort of a sounding board staff, blah, blah, blah. But we were sold as, ha, he's a leader of men.
Mm-hmm.
He's a culture creator. He builds relationships. You're going to hug him first before you ask him to play, and you get all of those things. Well, if you sell me this narrative and then it falls on its face,
right?
Don't then try to tell me, well, I was just kidding about that narrative. He's a rookie coach. Rookie coaches have no idea what they're getting themselves into. No, you told me he's the perfect guy for the job because those are what his strengths are, right?
100%.
If offenses, X's and O's were just the issues of this team, let's just say they stunk, same record, but it's only because the offense stunk, we'd be like, okay, he admitted he doesn't know much about offense. He's kind of leaving it to Alex. There's a whatever. But that's not the issue. The issue is the guy who was brought in to be a leader of men and a culture creator is incapable at this point of leading men and creating a positive culture. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Incapable from what I see. Because this is a, he says it's a results-based business on the field. It's a results-based business off the field, too. And if they're saying dumb stuff and tweeting dumb stuff and Instagramming dumb stuff and doing dumb stuff with cops, then you got a dumb culture.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that this culture? It's dumb. Right.
Absolutely.
Now. Very simple.
And they got off to about as good of a start as you could possibly want.
Oh, that's the other
thing. They won a game. They had a Gatorade
bat. How's that Gatorade going?
They beat a Cincinnati Bengals team that was in a Super Bowl 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever it was. But, like, they went out there and they beat a real team, you know? Like, the Bengals aren't great, but they're a real team.
Early in the year, Bengals, I'm not sure they're a real team.
Fine. They're more real than the Patriots. I mean, come on. Like, the Patriots beating any team that's, you know, other than Carolina or, you know, some team that was in the lottery with them this year was significant. That was substantial. That should have been partially a piece of this culture, right? You know, it's a winning culture. We won this first game, and we're just going to keep on winning and taking them to the hill and all that stuff, and it was week two, basically, that it was all up in smoke.
And as the texter points out, the 978, another aspect of this that makes it look worse, I'm not saying this is fair or unfair, it's just the reality, Mike Vrabel would be the guy they should have hired. Proven culture. You have this guy out there who is seen as the fit, who wouldn't allow this crap to happen, right? Who also could, by the way, do the current thing and kind of bridge the past and the future.
Yeah.
Because Mike Vrabel's his own man. He's a little bit younger than Belichick, not as young as Mayo. I think he's 50 or whatever. But maybe could bridge the gap. He has proven experience. And I do think that hinders Mayo a little bit. I said it at the time. I thought that it kind of undercut his popularity and his credibility. And it'd be one thing if he's failing and everybody's like, I don't know, who should they have gotten? And no one can come up with an answer. I don't know. Maybe Ben Johnson. This guy. There is a guy out there in Mike Vrabel that is like the actual answer. Oh, I think we should have gotten this guy. You defensive coach. You wanted a defensive coach, I guess.
Right.
Guy who played
Which
for
is
you.
Part of the reason I didn't want Vrabel or Mayo argument. For that matter. But yeah, but go ahead.
Another argument in that direction. But he seems to fit what you wanted. But he's also proven that he can lead men at various levels. Because, again, this isn't Mayo's fault. This is more Robert's fault. Mike Vrabel coached at Ohio State. He was a linebackers coach and a coordinator in Houston, worked his way up in Houston, and he's been a head coach in the NFL. He has experience. He's lived what Schefter's talking about. He's had to answer the phone or the knock at the door for various jobs, various times, various issues.
Yep.
And he's
he
out
kind of running into the ground in Tennessee, though. I mean,
everybody
that
runs
that
it.
Happened.
So did Belichick here. Everybody sure. runs it into the ground eventually.
But for Vrabel, it took 6 years. I mean, it's for
and did
Belichick,
he run it, into
it took
the ground?
20 plus years.
Or did his GM, who said, A.J. Brown, we don't want him.
I don't think that helped.
Didn't help.
But also,
the talent there stunk.
Was Vrabel out there on the front line throwing a tantrum and pounding the table for A.J. Brown? I don't know if he was.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Was he really?
Reports out of there were
it was
an institutional divide.
I thought that it was one of those things where it was like, all right, we want to move on from this guy. He's a problem in the locker room. The coach doesn't like him, like that type of thing.
If I recall correctly, that turned into a he wanted. Now, you never know retroactive, I mean, revisionist history style. But no, I think the reports were he wanted to keep AJ Brown.
Okay, fair enough. Then I didn't know that, and I wasn't sure, so that's why I sort of asked. But even still, you know, he got off to a great start, and he had a winning record as a head coach too. His record as a head coach is 54-45. That's better than most of the people who came up under Bill Belichick. Now Vrabel's in an interesting
wins.
Spot. Yeah, 54 wins, 45 losses.
It's
going
to take Mayo 54 years to get there.
Might be, yeah. At this rate, certainly. Vrabel also is not technically part of the Belichick coaching tree.
No.
Because he never coached under him.
Right.
He may have learned a lot of things from him from playing here, but he was part of Houston, so he's in an O'Brien's tree.
Yep.
And Ohio State, which makes him, what the hell's his name? The coach at Ohio State.
Wasn't
Urban
Ryan
Meyer.
Ben. Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer coaching
He was under Urban
well.
Meyer?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't that time? Wasn't that the?
Yeah, probably.
I think so. I don't know. I'll
probably
go
makes
double
sense.
Check that. But either way, that I think is the two trees that he's part of. He's not actually a Bill Belichick coaching tree disciple, which I think is a big check mark in his favor, honestly.
Yes, but he's still, I mean, and yes, depending on what you want to do. I mean, if you're Kraft, that might actually kind of appease you in two ways. He has Patriot stank on him from the early days.
Right.
But he's not beholden to Belichick. He doesn't, you know, in fact, he pushed back against Belichick as a player. When he was here, he would say things and kind of poke the bear, and he didn't mm-hmm. always agree with everything that was said and done. He was his own man. So I do think that hurts Mayo, that there is a ready-baked option that people just see. It's like one of those pizzas you were talking about at Little Caesars. It's hot and ready. Hot and ready. Mike Vrabel's right there. Hot and ready. Just pick him up, and he'll be your dinner in 10 minutes.
Is it good?
Later.
It's hot. And it's and ready. That's
you didn't ask for good.
You didn't ask for good.
You want hot and ready.
We define our product two ways. Hot and ready, and that's it. And that's all we're going to say.
Like our pizza, like we like our men.
That's right. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. There may be, Andy Hart, there may be a little bit of a media war on our hands right now.
I feel like I might be involved.
I think a shot has been fired. The shot heard around the world, and it was fired by your good friend Paul Perillo, who may have had you in mind, Andy Hart, you in mind, hurtful. When he launched this salvo here against Patriots beat writers, which, in fairness, you are not one right now.
No longer.
You
no.
are a Patriot. You're not even a Patriots anything. You are a,
I'm a host
talk
too,
show host
on an afternoon host radio show.
On WEEI afternoon show. And that is not the same as being part of the beat. However, this this descriptor, this the thing Paul Perillo said, it could be very well applied to a one Andy Hart. Mm. We'll explain, and we'll play this this devastating audio right after Jackson tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Time Out Market. Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. And the Bruins, the Celtics, they're back at it. They return to action tonight. The Bruins host the Dallas Stars at the Garden tonight. Puck drop at 7. And we can hear Andrew Raycroft waxing poetic about Jeremy Swayman and his new contract.
It was awesome. Especially the game in Utah could have been, you know, that could have easily been a no-point night and a 3-4 nothing loss. You know, you talk about him and the holdout, of course, the storyline and worrying about his start. And he's been the exact opposite and proven why they wanted to get him signed and they want him on an 8-year deal.
If you missed Razor on the Midday Show with Jones and Keith, you can catch that and any interview we do here on WEI on the Odyssey app, where you can listen to it wherever and whenever you want. The Celtics are in action tonight in Washington to play the Wizards. That game tips off at 7. Patriots practice today, and the greatest quarterback in the league, according to Andy Hart, Drake May, was a full participant. They're getting ready for the Jets on Sunday. Week 8 in the NFL begins with a Thursday night football matchup between the Minnesota Vikings and Los Angeles Rams. Kickoff is at 8:15, and you can catch the call of that game right here on WEEI 93.7. Westwood One's coverage will begin at 7:30. I am Jackson Burns. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between. Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof.